This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday, May 1st edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Harris, and I am going to be going solo today as we take on a two-game slate as the playoffs continue. The Miami Heat taking on the Boston Celtics. The Celtics looking to close the series out, which has been a pretty dominant one for them outside of one, I guess, banana slip game, you can call it. They lead 3-1, looking to close out at home, while the Mavericks and Clippers, which is in many ways the more interesting game of the two coming out, a much closer game as the spread is going to indicate, but also a 2-2 tied series with some injury implications that are obviously going to have impacts as far as usage and really the entire rotation is concerned. So we are going to get right into that. But as always, if you haven't got yourself subscribed to Sports Ethos as of yet, definitely do that. Get yourself onto that DFS pass so you can get access to all of our amazing content, including our DFS live injury report, our DFS deliveries, our daily pick'ems, and of course, access to our Discord so you can keep yourself connected all the way through with the DFS pros up until lineup lock and make sure that you stay on top of that as well. Also, this podcast is sponsored by Bet Online, which Bet Online is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. You get all of the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Make sure to get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. But jumping right into our slates over here, first game of the night is going to be Miami taking on Boston. As we said, Boston sitting at a 3-1 series lead, looking pretty, and Vegas obviously believes that they're going to go ahead and close it out here, giving them a mammoth 14.5 spread as the favorites going into this matchup with a total of only 200.5. So in both cases, the lower total of the two games that we're seeing tonight and a game with a lot of potential blowout implications that are there as well. Now, if there is one kind of saving grace to this, is that the last time Miami happened to be back in Boston, they did pull a bit of a banana slip on them, took a game that was not expected to be nearly as close, obviously took the win there as well, but also just were able to really scythe into that Miami defense. Now, we know that closeout games are always that little bit different in terms of how much more competitive they can get all the way through, and we've been seeing that over the last couple of games here now, Nuggets obviously being the biggest example of that. But even in that Thunder and Pelicans game, where the Thunder did end up closing out the series, did go tight all the way up until the end. So I don't know if it's necessarily going to end up at that 14.5 over here, but I am going to mitigate that a little bit by not going too heavy on the big spend ups over here. But where I am willing to go ahead and get a little bit of exposure over here, given the fact that I don't necessarily love the front court options of the other game outside of a certain Clippers big man who I'll talk about later, but Bam Adebayo has consistently been the best player for the Miami Heat throughout this series so far. And much of it was expected with Jimmy Butler going down, that his scoring output would increase, and then as a result give him more upside as far as his entire DK line is concerned. Now, he got that all the way up to 54 DK points in the last game over here, and for him, his price tag rising up to 8,300 over here does give a little bit of pause, given the fact that he could, of course, end up kind of being slightly below that, but he's been incredibly secure thus far in the series, really even in his down games, ended up in the mid-30s, and I'm willing to take the bet on a little bit of upside on him over here in a do-or-die game for the Miami Heat. So even though I'm not necessarily loving spending up over here with some of the injury reports that we're getting, and we're seeing that Jaime Jaquez has already been ruled out for this game, really it just means that they're going to be even more load put onto Bam Adebayo to be able to try and keep this series alive. So if he's going to be able to go ahead and respond is something that remains to be seen, but his price tag definitely allows for that to happen. On the other hand, this series has been very much a breakout. I'm not necessarily a breakout because people who've been watching know, but Derek White has really taken a big step forward from his pure offensive game in this series. It's clear that he's getting more responsibility, more trust thrown onto him as a actual scorer rather than that jack of all trades that he's kind of been up until now, and now averaging over 24 this series, obviously highlighted by that 38 point outing in that last game over there. He has been one of the most consistent players as far as Boston is concerned, and his price tag allows you to have a little bit of comfort in his floor as well. Now, it has taken a little bit of a step up here. He was sitting in 5,900 all the way in the last game where he had that breakout 57 DK point performance, which means that people are likely going to be on him on a two-game slate, but that's just the reality of things over here. It's just worth going ahead and taking that punt on someone like him over a Drew Holiday, for example, where he's much more become kind of that Derek White of old and just a little sprinkling of stats across the board and not necessarily putting up the type of field goal attempts that you'd like to see to be able to get a little bit more comfort in taking a guy in that 6,000 range. So Derek White as your point guard, definitely going to be one of the areas that we are going to be focusing in on. On the other hand, from an injury perspective, as far as Boston is concerned, we do know that Kristaps Porzingis has been ruled out for this game and with his calf is likely going to be missing a couple of games over here. Now, unlike other teams, Boston just happens to have the luxury of someone like an Al Horford who can just go ahead and step right in to be able to go ahead and play those big minutes and still be incredibly effective when he goes ahead and does so. Now, he did that in that last game against Miami where he played 34 minutes, didn't really get too many field goal attempts, which did end up keeping his price down a little bit, but I expect that they might have him in a little bit more usage over here. It's just one of those things where Al Horford has the capability to not only stretch the floor, but also in games that's away from home, he's shooting about 40% from three out there as well, and just continues to be incredibly efficient in everything that he does. So if they are going to be finding ways to basically clamp down and focus more on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, it'll likely be Al Horford who'll get a lot of that love from him and Derek White getting a little bit more room to operate and be that little bit more involved on the offensive side. So I'm expecting that he should be able to get into double digits as far as scoring is concerned pretty comfortably over here, and that upside of rebounding is always there. He should be able to get 8 to 10 pretty consistently there too. So at 5,500, a guy who should be able to clear 30 points on a pretty consistent basis will have the upside to get into the mid-30s as well. So that 6.5 to 7x upside on GPP is always what we're going for. So very happy to be able to go ahead and take on some of that. And then finally, before we move on to the last game in terms of kind of focuses on here, I do think Caleb Barton is going to be a guy that I end up focusing on a decent bit over here as well. We saw exactly what we expected, really, as far as playoffs are concerned, in terms of his minutes and his continued kind of increased reliance as far as Miami's not only perimeter defense is concerned, but also the ability to be able to hit that open corner three when the focus does shift onto both Tyler Hero as well as Bam Adebayo. So for him to get all the way up to 14 shot attempts in the last game, likely to be in that same region, given the fact that Jaime Jaquez and his usage is not going to be on the floor. So that does likely open up another at least 6 to 7 shots overall for him on average. So I expect that he should be able to clear kind of that low double digits as far as field goal attempts are concerned, giving him a decent amount of upside here for a guy who is in that power forward slot, which is not necessarily the most stacked as far as potential options are concerned tonight, unless you do want to Take a look at someone like a PJ Washington in the next game, who we'll talk about shortly. But in general, I like his price tag and his upside for where he is now, and I do expect that he'll do better than someone like a Haywood Highsmith, who is much more of a defensive stopper, but not nearly as much of an offensive threat, which at this point Miami need as much of as possible, given that they're pretty much down to their last few forces as far as everything is concerned on offensive creation. So Caleb Martin is going to be heavily relied on, not only to be able to push the pace, but also to try and keep that Boston perimeter as contained as possible. Moving on to the last game of the night, and one of two, as I said, Dallas and LA Clippers. Dallas favored to win by 3.5 on here. Obviously, the news about Kawhi Leonard already being ruled out for this game a day in advance, which is obviously not what you want to see as far as a Clippers fan is concerned. So, you know, Kenny, I'm sure, is not.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Too happy with the news as far as that's concerned at all. But what was clear here is that Kawhi had been struggling and struggling massively with his health as far as this series is concerned. And I'd go as far as to say that the Clippers should be up 3-1 on the series if they weren't really trying to force feed Kawhi in that in the second game, where they went ahead and cost themselves the game down the stretch, where, you know, Kawhi was really trying to get himself involved in the fourth quarter, clearly didn't have his legs under him, was short on the shots there. But what it has meant is that the rest of the team has started to really take on some of that additional responsibility. Now, I sound like a bit of a broken record over here, but James Harden just continues to be my go-to as far as point guards are concerned, not only in this slate here specifically, where I'm sure he is going to be very chalky and very popular, but for good reason. For 8,300, he is going to be in that 50-plus upside opportunity again. Showed exactly what he can do in that last game where he was away in Dallas. But in the two games already at home, he's put up 49 and 46 DK points respectively, while not even necessarily shooting to his caliber as far as shooting from downtown is concerned, hitting 8 of 21 in the two home games so far. So a lot to like as far as his upside is concerned. Dallas has continued to be a matchup that he has been able to exploit. Those perimeter defenders have not been able to stay in front of him. They've tried putting Luka on him, which really did not work out very well down the stretch for Dallas in that last game over there. So we're going to have to see what kind of adjustments they make. But James Harden should be absolutely paramount to the Clippers' success over here, and his price tag, which I'm sure will continue to rise as long as Kawhi remains out and the usage moves on to him, is going to be super important. What is going to be, in my opinion, a bit of a make or break over here is whether Paul George can have the kind of game that he had in the last one. Now, he had been just bad, out and out bad in the first three games of the playoffs, had a couple of opportunities where he got himself going kind of late on in games that ended up with some decent counting stats, but he had not really been hitting the level of efficiency and the level of production that we would be hoping to see from a guy who pretty much has championship aspirations this year, they would hope. So for him to come out and do as well as he did in that last game was huge, including some really, really tough contested shots, including that one down the stretch in the fourth quarter in the corner, which was pretty much the dagger for the game there. So at 8,100, there's definitely an element of risk over here because he does have that capability to kind of underperform on his numbers over there. But I think if you're looking to win this kind of a GPP, which is, of course, where that focus is going to be, you want Paul George to be involved in that lineup as much as possible. possible. And given that he has that shooting guard and small forward dual eligibility, it does give you that opportunity to be able to slot him in a bunch of different spots as far as lineups are concerned. And if we're talking about within that same kind of price tag range, it's really between him, Tyler Hero, and Jaylen Brown. And frankly, between the three, I like Paul George best for sure, not only given the fact that he is in a faster paced game, in a matchup where he should have more advantages as far as his size and speed are concerned versus some of the perimeter defenders that Dallas are going to be able to go ahead and throw out on him. But what has been a bit of a wrinkle in it all has been how well PJ Washington has been playing from a defensive standpoint so far. And regardless of whether his counting stats are showing it or not, he has been an absolute pest on that end. And really putting himself as the primary defender on Paul George is going to be an interesting matchup and an interesting wrinkle kind of coming into this game here to see whether he can go ahead and beat out on that number. That being said, when we're talking about value, I do think there is a lot of value to be had on the Clippers side with Kawhi Leonard being out. For one, we know Russell Westbrook is going to end up playing more minutes now as a result. His 5,000 price tag should be a pretty simple follow-up for him, just plain and simple, given the fact that he should get somewhere close to 12 to 13 shots at this point now, given some of that usage that's going to come his way. And with his hustle, he always ends up getting those rebounds well above what a guy his size usually does. So at 5,000, coming off the bench, likely sitting in that 28-minute role alongside Norman Powell, should be in a pretty good position to be able to beat out his price tag. And the same really goes for Norman Powell as well, where with Kawhi Leonard out, he absolutely takes over that primary scoring capability from the wing, especially when he staggers. And when he starts off the bench, he gets great usage there. But he also is the one that fits into their most effective lineup, in which they go ahead and throw out Norman Powell alongside Harden and Paul George. And then probably Zubats on the other side to be able to go ahead and match it with Terrence Mann kind of being that hawk, dealing with different defensive matchups to give these guys as many offensive opportunities as possible. So you'll see a lot of those Clippers guys that are in that kind of 3,000 to 4,000 range that could be your game breakers as far as a DFS is concerned. I do think from a pure upside perspective, Norman Powell is the best offensive option that the Clippers have in that range. And if he can get his shot going the way that he did in game three, we could see him getting into that 20-point range there. And even if his supporting stats aren't necessarily the best, that does give him the opportunity to get into the 30s as far as DK points are concerned. So definitely one to like as far as that is going. While on the other hand, Westbrook is more of a kind of across the board stats contribution. His offensive output has been a lot more shaky. So there's obviously the upside that goes with that, but the accompanying risk, definitely someone that I am going to have a decent amount of exposure to. But like I said, if I really want to kind of build it around, it's going to be James Harden on one side, and looking on the Dallas side over here before I kind of wrap it up talking about Zubats as well, who I think is going to be the best center to be able to take in general and has continued to be dominant in this series. Luka Doncic, who is coming into this game with a sprained knee, has definitely looked a shadow of himself so far in the series, has shot incredibly inefficiently, has looked slow on the defensive end, and has really been hobbled throughout. He's definitely playing less than 100%, probably closer to 60 to 70%, which for someone at 11,800, you need him to get that 60 plus just to be able to really make it worth it. And frankly, I don't necessarily love that option for him here. So while Doncic is definitely going to be someone you have to consider, given the fact that you have a two-game slate with not many options there, I would much rather focus on Kyrie Irving as my potential option there instead at that 8,800 price tag, looking the far better offensive option between the two. And in fact, outside of James Harden, has been the best player in this series so far. So for him to be sitting at that 8,800 price tag, I really like the upside that he offers there. In the four games that it's gone so far, he hasn't had a single game underneath 39.5, which obviously speaks volumes to as far as his floor is concerned. But the big thing is that his shot attempts continue to go on an upward trend. He was averaging about 17, 18 in the first two games, and then got all the way up to 25 in the last one when the Mavericks really needed someone to go ahead and get an offensive spark going. So Kyrie being one of the best isolation scorers now, and if not the game has seen, really only got hampered by the fact that he had 7 turnovers in the last game, which is definitely outside of the norm from him. He's a pretty good ball handler in general, only averaged about 2 turnovers a game for the entire season. And for him to have that kind of number is not something that I expect will be replicated. So that upside of being able to get into the mid-30s as far as pure point scoring is concerned is absolutely going to be needed if the Mavericks are going to be looking to go ahead and live up to the fact that they're listed as the favorites coming into this game. Something which, by the way, I'm not too
too concerned about. I think the Clippers do have the weapons to be able to go ahead and win this, and that's going to be where some of my wagers are going, but that's a bit of a spoiler on the other side there. But as far as Kyrie is concerned, he's definitely my favorite as far as the Dallas offensive options are concerned. If I am looking into some value picks, I do think Derek Jones Jr. is a good option over here in general, because he has kind of proven himself to be the most consistent of the perimeter defenders that Dallas has gone ahead and thrown. And as a result, his minutes have risen rapidly from that first game where he only played 18 and now is pretty much in a role where he should be playing 30 plus minutes on a regular basis. Now, definitely not the most consistent as far as offensive options are concerned, but what he is able to do is hit that corner three on regularity and keep defenses honest enough so that he is able to go ahead and get that drive to the basket and get himself potentially some of those dunks, which he's obviously known a lot more for. More so than that, his length and his capability to be switchable on the defensive end has kept him on a lot of matchups here. He was spending a lot of time on James Harden in that previous game and also switched on to Paul George as needed as well. So he's absolutely going to be relied upon heavily alongside PJ Washington to try and slow down some of that perimeter scoring that the LA Clippers possess. And those just mean a lot of minutes for him. I do like him better than options in that same price range of Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford, just because not only are they both much more limited as far as their offensive capabilities are concerned, but their undersized nature has kind of led them to situations where Zubac, who's been just incredibly dominant throughout this series, really only had his first, I guess you can say, down game in that last one against the Mavericks, where he still ended up on 23 DK points, just didn't have the normal rebounding night as the Clippers were going a lot more small and trying to really rely on some of that incredible three-point shooting that they got on early on. They were just on a crazy streak, which less missed shots just mean less rebounding opportunities, and Zubac didn't get the ability to get into that double-double range, which he should be able to do pretty consistently and should be able to get through tonight as well. So from a pure center perspective, if I am not necessarily spending up on Luka Doncic, as I said earlier, I probably have the money to be able to get both Bam and Zubac into my lineup over here with the capability now of taking some of these dual position eligibility kind of point guards and wings that we've spoken about to be able to get a pretty solid lineup over here without needing to really dip into some of those 9,000 plus options in Jason Tatum and Luka Doncic. So that's kind of my strategy and how I'm going ahead and taking a look at some of these games here. But I'd love to hear what you guys have to think. I mean, are the Clippers going to be able to go ahead and survive this series without Kawhi Leonard? I think they have enough options to be able to do so. They've shown it earlier on in the series so far, and we'll see what James Harden is able to continue to produce as he has one of the better playoff series of his career so far. But you can always hit me up on Twitter, on Instagram at @HAK_Devil to talk through exactly what your thoughts are. And I'd love to have you engage. And again, get yourself subscribed to Sports Ethos on that DFS pass. Connect with us on the Discord all the way through so that you can stay on top of all that is happening. But until then, I will see you tomorrow as we take on another solo slate. But until then, let's take down some of those GPPs.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.